chapter 41, verses 8 through 16. Again, Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 16. And then I will invite up Pastor Morgan. I am not Pastor Morgan. As you know, I told you from the beginning, I am Pastor Caleb because that's Pastor Morgan. And I'll be inviting him up to lead us into the new year. As you hear these words spoken about Israel and the promises to Jacob, if you're thinking they are not for you, let me remind you that the book of Galatians calls you sons of Abraham, children of promise, and the Israel of God. So hear the word of the Lord under those titles. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I make you as a threshing sledge, new, sharp, and having teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and crush them, and you shall make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the tempest shall scatter them. And you shall rejoice in the Lord, in the Holy One of Israel. You shall glory. This is the word of the Lord. Reverend Morgan, welcome you up. The children are now invited to attend Children's Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
As we get into the Old Testament, I remember as a new believer, around the age of 28, that I really grew to appreciate the New Testament. And when I got into the Bible, that's where I went to, time and time again, because I really wanted to know about Jesus. You see, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and I didn't hear all that much about Jesus, and especially not about having a personal relationship with God through believing in Jesus Christ and really understanding who Jesus is and what Jesus had done to change the world that we live in and to change lives, those who heard the gospel and were given faith to believe the gospel. So the New Testament, it's always wonderful, but it's only half of your Bible. There's another half that precedes it. And over the course of time, I grew to really appreciate and love the Old Testament. Because as I matured as a believer, I began to see the two working together. One testament relating to the kingdom of God, functioning somewhat differently in the Old Testament, but preparing us for what was coming in the New. And from that time on, and when I began my ministry in Pawtucket back in 1997, I was convinced that in my course of my preaching, I would do two messages from the New Testament and one from the Old. And I tried to keep that throughout my ministry, to try to encourage our congregation about the importance of the Old Testament and the wealth of the teaching of the Old Testament, which really prepares us for Jesus in the New Testament. So as I was considering this text for today, I had done a little bit of work on Isaiah, and I just thought this would be a great time as we start a brand new year, reminding ourselves who God is and who we are in relationship to God. And what a great relationship that is. What a blessed relationship. What a miraculous relationship that is. And to know in your own heart of hearts that God is for me. God is for us as a body of believers. These are good things. These are the encouraging things that we as believers need to hear. We are going through life on this planet, and there are a lot of difficulties that we have to work through and around in the world that we live in. And so when you look at this section that I'm taking our text out of today, from Isaiah 40 to Isaiah 45, this is known as the comfort portion, dealing with our salvation. And so my purpose today is what I used to do back in my hockey college days. Before we hit the ice, we gathered together and we encouraged one another and hit the ice with that in mind. And every period of the hockey game, we need, as believers in Jesus, we need all the encouragement we can get. Because the world is against us. Satan is against us. But in all of that busyness that is against us, we sometimes forget who is for us. God is for us. And when God is for us, all things will take place according to God's perfect will. In this situation, and that situation over there, we begin to learn that we can trust God, not when things are always rosy, but we can trust God when things are not so great. I read about that a bit last night. I was reading in Job. Maybe you're saying, why would you read Job? Because it's the best pickup book in the world for believers. Here's a man tested by God, was tried and true, was thankful. He did not turn his back for a moment on God. What an example, what an encouragement. So I hope and pray that as we work our way through the text, that you'll be encouraged. And there's something that repeats here at least three times in these texts that Caleb read for us. First of all, there's the phrase, fear not. And then it says, I will help you. Fear not, I will help you. Fear not, that's good enough. No, it's not good enough. Because God gave us more. He says, fear not, I will help you. You get that? Fear not, I will help you. Our dependence is not on self in getting through this world as a believer, but our dependence is upon God. We rely on God. We pray to God to guide us through. We pray God in situations that arise. Because of ourselves, we cannot make it. We will stumble, we will fall, and we will become very discouraged. There's a lot of people who started out well, who were taken in by the gospel that they heard. They were excited, and all of a sudden things began to happen in their lives, and all of a sudden they just fade away. But the truth is, sometimes we don't understand what it's all about. It's about a relationship. It's about promises that God gives. And we know, we've all learned, that when God makes a promise, what does he do? Yeah, look at that. We all know that. We have got to grab on to the promises. Fear not, for I am with you. In Eugene Peterson's translation of the Message Study Bible, he states that the major thrust of Isaiah is clearly God's work of salvation. He labeled it this way, the Salvation Symphony, with three prominent themes: judgment, chapters 1 to 39, comfort, where we are today, chapters 40 to 55, and hope, chapter 56 to 66. This morning, we are in the comfort theme for Israel and for us. The comfort zone for us. God is there and wanting to comfort us that we may go on and fulfill all that God had intended for us in this world. Isaiah prophesied that Judah, the southern kingdom, would go into captivity to Babylon. Keep in mind, there was another part of Israel. They're known as the northern tribes, the northern kingdom. There were 10 of them. Where are they at this time? A couple hundred years. They had been taken captive by the Assyrians, and they were all split up. They knew this, Judah knew this, and yet Judah needed to hear the word of God. So that they were going to go into captivity because they disobeyed Almighty God and chose to develop a system of false worship. Hey, Isaiah, we don't want to hear that message, okay? We don't want to hear that message. We're okay. We're right here, surrounded in Jerusalem. And Judah was saying, we got it made. We're okay. We will get through this. We don't like that message that you're giving to us about the false worship. But this was a stern warning from God, which Judah did not heed and chose to pursue their own way. You ever done that? Have you ever failed to pursue God and gone your own way in a given situation, in a given period of time? I'd like to think we all who are believers in Jesus Christ have done that. Not purposing, not planning, but we live in a body of flesh. This is a powerful entity that we have to deal with every day we wake up. This body has its own desires. It's a flesh. The Bible talks about the lust of the flesh. So it's a struggle that's going on. It's a struggle that we read about, hear it through Isaiah in proclaiming the word of God to Judah. Yet, the God of comfort gave them uplifting prophecies, proclaiming their release from their exile in Babylon. God had not forgotten them and willingly extended the comfort of his mercy to Judah. Have you ever felt forgotten by God? God, where are you? I'm having to do this all by myself and I'm not doing a very good job. Where are you? God does not forget those that are his, and he willingly extends the comfort of his mercy to me, to you, and in particular here, to Judah. The words, "Fear not," are powerful and comforting when facing serious situations in life. Judah needed these words because her enemy, Babylon, would take her by force from Jerusalem into the harsh, godless, unrighteous kingdom of Babylon. The Jewish people were brutalized in Babylon. Life was hard and hopeless much of the time. Isaiah's comforting words from God to the people of Judah were, "Fear not, for I am with you. Yes, I will help you." Secondly, "Fear not, I will help you." And third, "Fear not, you worm Jacob, I will help you." Now in each of these statements, there's the phrase, "I will help you, I will help you, I will help you." And I guess I could have called this sermon, "Help is on the way." For the believer in Jesus Christ, we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that help is on the way. God is there for his people. God is there for you, and he's there for me. To see us through in the same way as I was reading Job. God was there for Job. And God was behind Job, and God presented Job to Satan. Test him. He feared. He has faith in me. You test him. God knew. But as we hear, "Fear not, I will help you," it reminds me, and some of the older saints, I imagine, will remember this too. There was a great hymn that I used to enjoy as a young believer. It was called, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past," by Isaac Watts. The fifth verse says this, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last and our eternal home." So let's begin with this first, "Fear not, for I am with you. Yes, I will help you." God's endearing relationship with his chosen ones. One of the great things we need to always know about God is that God is not about religion. I've been there. Probably some of you grew up in faiths where it was all about religion. Never really mentioned, never preached about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But that's the gospel message. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. God makes it clear. We muddy the water. God makes it clear. It's a simple message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And so we have some relationship terms here. He calls Judah my servant. This is a privileged position with opportunities, benefits, and blessings from God. It is a good thing to be known as the servant of God. But he calls descendants of Abraham my friend. God has a unique personal relationship with those in Judah who follow God's law and worship the lawmaker. Endearing terms, my servant, my friend. God our Father, we his children. And then there's God's unconditional love for his servant. God declares his love for descendants of Abraham. "I have chosen you and have not cast you away." Well, what was so great about Abraham? Stellar person? Wonderful attitude? What was so great about Abraham? what was so great about Abraham is true about you and I, if we are true believers in Jesus Christ. God chose Abraham. God chose the children of Israel. With those whom he chose, he blessed, and he gave promises, and he guided them through their journey in life. But it is a God who chooses. It is a God who is not only almighty, not only all-knowing, not only everywhere at the same time, but he's a God who is sovereign over all things. Now, sometimes people have a little bit of a problem with that word, that God is sovereign over all things. That's not the reality of sovereignty of God. God gives us comfort in the fact that he is sovereign over all things. I can trust God in the morning of the day, at noonday, at the end of the day. We can trust God because God has chosen us. God has chosen to adopt us into his family. We did nothing to obtain that. But God chose Abraham. God chose you and I to share his love and his friendship with him, and to be called his servant, to be called his friend. When Judah forsakes God and is captured by Babylon, she must remember the truth: I have chosen you and have not cast you away. In her book, The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom relates that she and her sister were hiding Jewish people in their home so that they wouldn't be arrested by the orders of Hitler. Eventually, their hiding place was discovered by the Germans, and the ten Boom sisters were arrested and thrown into a concentration camp. While in camp, there was a serious lice infestation, which really irritated Corrie and got her very upset. Her sister kindly told her that the lice, get ready for this, was a blessing because the guards would not come near them because of the lice. Carrie's sister understood God's declaration: I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Do you believe that in your life? That God has chosen you and will not cast you away? God provided overwhelming hope for those of Judah taken into exile. Fear not, I am with you. How blessed to have God's presence with us. We who are believers in Jesus Christ have been born again into the family of God by the Spirit of God. And in the new birth, we have the Spirit of God indwelling us 24/7. God with us. God seeing us through. God being there for us. For us to rely on him. Less self-reliance, more reliance upon the Almighty God, who does all things after the counsel of his own will. But there's more. There's more than God's presence. He says, be not dismayed. Don't start asking yourself, where are you, God? Don't be worried about your future. But put your future into God's hands. God knows where you're going. God knows what you're going to be doing. So why are you breaking yourself trying to find out? Rather than getting on your knees and knowing that God knows where you're going, God knows what you're going to be doing, and you are to be in sync with God. And God gives that to us in that personal relationship and the presence of the Holy Spirit. God wants to bless you at all times. But not only bless you, to make you a blessing for others. There are people in your neighborhood who need to have the blessing of God and see the blessing of God. There's people lost in this world who need to be blessed by the presence of God, and we are the people of God, and we present that. We are called in scriptures ambassadors of Christ. So we represent the kingdom of God. It's all part of what God has put together so that we will fear not. We know that he's with us. We will not be dismayed. For I am your God. Dismayed. When God called me out of running a Christian day school and called me to be a preacher of the word, I knew I needed further training, so I applied to a seminary in New Jersey, and I was living in Canada at the time. But I had such assurance that that's what God wanted me to do. And I get a response from my application, and I was rejected. Now think of that. God is telling me that I am going to be a pastor someday by his grace. And I'm heading in a certain direction, and now I get this answer. We're not going to take you into our seminary. So how do you think I felt? I can assure you I was somewhat dismayed. But I didn't dwell on the dismay for very long. Because when God called me to run that Christian day school, I had no guaranteed salary for 7 years. But God had given my wife and I a text of scripture. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We believed God. God was faithful. God is faithful. You know that. I know that. God is faithful. So we went through that, and now we're in another situation here. And with that knowledge of the faithfulness of God in my life, God dropped into my life one afternoon a pastor from a different denomination. He says, "How you doing, Terry?" "Not so good." "Why? What's happened?" So I started to share. He says, "Come on in." So I went into his living room and told him my situation. He looked at me, he said, "Well," he says, "I've had many doors closed. However," he said, "when God closes a door, he opens a window." And I knew right then and there that I'm still on my way to a seminary. I don't know where it is. But I know that the call upon God was there. And I left his presence uplifted. Uplifted, comforted, encouraged as believer. He was there. He was an Assembly of God preacher. He was there encouraging me in the Word, encouraging me in my walk with God. Another believer, the way we are to function as the body of Christ. Encourage one another, because life can be very challenging, and we have a tremendous foe in Satan. And great hope is represented in God's triple I will. Verse 10, great text of Scripture. It would not hurt you to underline verse 10 of chapter 41. He says this, he says, I will, God says, strengthen you. That could be enough all by itself, could it not? I will strengthen you, but that's not all. God always has more for us. I will help you. God, saying that he will be our help in this life, in getting through to glorify God. But not only that, I will strengthen, I will help, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is getting down and he's getting personal. But he wants you and I to understand what the relationship is all about. I will strengthen, I will help, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God who saves us, God is going to take us home, and he's going to take us through the journey of life. And we will glorify God, we will grow to know God here and now. It's not to be saved and say, okay, Lord, when I get to heaven, I'll get to know you. No, it's not that way at all. When we are saved, we are alive. We have a life to live. We are to glorify God. We're to give thanks to God and live our lives and tell people what great things God has done for us. It's a wonderful thing that God has done in saving us and leaving us here and giving us opportunities to know him in real ways, to know that he cares for us. That's how Job knew that God was on his side. He could trust God and stay true to God and be strengthened all along the way. And God wants that for all of us. Second point, fear not, for I will help you. Judah created enemies who wanted to destroy her and her religion. Enemies incensed at her shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing with God's, come on, gang, where are you? With God's help. Thanks, Mitch. All right. Those who strive with you shall perish with God's, all right. Those who war against you and contended with you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing with. Is that so hard? Because naturally we fight. We fight against God. Very sad, isn't it? That's what the flesh. That's why this flesh can't go to heaven. Into the ground. Back to ashes, dust. With God's help, Judah's enemies are overpowered. Overpowered her for a time, but God beat them back for Judah according to his promise. Our help comes from the Lord. God will hold your right arm saying, fear not. I will help you. These words of comfort from Isaiah are reflected in the hymn, "God Will Take Care of You" by William Stillman Martin. Second verse, "Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you." And the chorus, "God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you." Third point, "Fear not, you worm Jacob. I will help you." A worm is pretty much defenseless. Jacob is defenseless against the empire of Babylon, which brought her into captivity and is in need of a redeemer. Now, redeemer. Israel's got a little history with a redeemer and with being redeemed, do they not? Do you remember where they spent a very long period of time? In Egypt, they were there over a long period of time, and things began to get worse and worse and worse, so much so that they cried out to God, and God delivered them out of Egypt. God redeemed them and sending them on their way towards the land of milk and honey. God would provide the help for Jacob in his time of need by answering his prayer for help. And the certainty of response to prayer by him who liveth is our God and Father may be illustrated by an incident in the life of Martin Luther. Usually, he was of a cheerful temperament, but he was subject to occasional fits of severe depression. Once, when nothing seemed to avail, he was induced to leave home for a few days in the hope that he might recover his cheerfulness. But he returned with a cloudy and dejected countenance. How great was his surprise on entering the house to find his wife seated in the middle of the room, attired in black garments and with a mourning cloak thrown over her, while she pressed to her eyes her handkerchief, as if weeping bitterly. He eagerly inquired the cause of her distress, which she seemed loath at first to communicate. But on his again imploring her to speak, she answered, "Only think, dear doctor, our Father in heaven is dead. Judge if I have not cause for my grief." Upon this, immediately comprehending her riddle, he laughed, and embracing her, said, "You are right, dear Kate. I am acting as if there were no God in heaven." And from that hour, his melancholy left him. Prayer reaches its intensity when it can be no more than a voiceless cry. "Lord, help me." With God's help and strength, Israel would return to Jerusalem and rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. We who believe in Jesus Christ will have times like Luther and experience fits of severe depression or a dejected countenance. Isaiah told Judah she would despise God and be punished by being taken into captivity. God extended mercy to Judah, and the message to her was, "Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, I will help you. And fear not, you worm Jacob, I will help you." Matthew 10:28, Jesus said this, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Whatever help you're in need of this morning, run to God. Plead with him for his help. And when your help comes, you shall rejoice in the land and glory in the Holy One of Israel. Words of comfort from a God who loves us, from a God who cares for us, a God who is interested in your life, a God who wants you and I to come to him on a daily basis, tell him about our day, and to seek ways in which we can glorify him so that we can be that individual that God would have us be, his child living in a godless, forsaken world that we live in. Are times getting better? Are they going to get better? Probably not. However, somebody is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who is that? That's right. It's the truth that will set us free. God is on your side. God is on my side. We have to remind one another of that and share that good news with those that we work with when they see your wonderful disposition in the workplace. And they say, why on earth are you so accepting in the workplace? Well, I have Jesus Christ in my life. He gives me the strength. Opportunities are there. Are you ready to take advantage of those opportunities to give God glory and to help a fellow human being? Remember, there was a time when someone prayed for you. Someone told you about Jesus. Someone through their life displayed the Christian life. God sent someone for you, and he sent someone for me. And now he's sending us to our neighborhoods, to our workplaces, in the world where we live. We are called. And Caleb has been emphasizing this over and over again. We are in Christ, the light of the world. Let your light so shine and glorify your Father. Thank you, Father, for your plans for us. Thank you for who you are. Praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name.